coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
But the American people should know this. In a changing world, my commitment to protecting religious liberty is and always will be unwavering.
It shouldn't take a church and church groups and colleges in America to have to sue their federal government to protect their religious liberties.
The feminist movement is dependent on abortion and daycare. Those are the two things that remove children or babies from the equation so that we can achieve this faux version of equality.
Shall the Father have compassion upon Nineveh? Jesus' death says yes, yes, 1,000 times and forever yes.
I think that if Issues Etc. was going to be a Navy vessel, it would be a nuclear-powered theological aircraft carrier.
I know what it's like on Sunday morning because I stand up there and I can look out over the congregation. I see it. I see it starting. It starts out, you're trying to hide it. And then pretty soon, it's overcome you. It's difficult to hide it. Sometimes the eyes close. It's the expression on the face. It's the body language a lot of times. And every pastor has seen it. And you felt it. So have I. That intense sense of boredom in church. Really, the last place in the world that we ought to be bored because of what's really going on there, and we are. And if you stop to think honestly about it, and if you're honest enough to admit it, you're thinking thoughts at the time like that when you're bored, sometimes to tears in church, you say, I think I got better things to do. Now, you won't come out and say that, but that's what you're thinking, I know. And guess what? Even pastors sometimes get bored. In church, what's the real problem? What's the real solution? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Wednesday afternoon, the 3rd of October. We're going to be talking about boredom in church. Pastor Jason Broughton joins us for the first half hour. A little bit later, Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be our guest, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College. We'll talk about the lack of God talk by the two major party presidential candidates. There is a strange lack of God talk, especially in contrast to the last election cycle. Pastor Peter Bender will join us after that. Very interesting. He got a chance to sing the national anthem at Wrigley Field in Chicago. I've actually watched the video. He did a really good job. We'll see how that came about. Talk to him a little bit about that on this Wednesday afternoon. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Jason Broughton is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Tuscola, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the recent Lutheran Witness magazine titled Yawn. Jason, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be on.
If I'm bored in church, what's the problem?
Well, there could be a number of problems, but the primary problem is us. And what I mean by that is it's a failure to recognize who we are in church with. It's a failure to recognize whose party we're at. I have two young boys, and they love to play, and particularly they love to play with me. And they love to tackle and tickle. They love to jump on my back. And they love to swing from their arms in the air. And we can do this for hours. And, I mean, I'm bored because I'm doing the same thing over and over again. But they never tire of it. In fact, once one boy's turn is over, they're immediately saying, let's do it again. Can we do it again, Dad? And it's not because of what we're doing, it's because who they're with. I could be doing anything, and because they're with Dad, that's all that matters. And I think a similar thing goes on in church, that we come to the divine service and we fail to remember who we are with, that we are gathered there with the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to be with us in his very body and blood, to take away all of our sin, to give us his Holy Spirit, his righteousness, his holiness, so that we will not die, but we will live forever. And it's a failure to recognize the presence of the crucified but risen Jesus that leads us to boredom. We fail to explore that mystery.
If you think about it that way, Pastor Broaden, it really is kind of the height of self-centeredness that we would ever be inclined toward boredom in the presence of Christ himself.
Precisely, and this is the essence of sin. It's the essence of original sin, to stare always at our own belly buttons, to care only for our own desires and not for what God gives and what God speaks. I mean, is it not precisely what led Adam and Eve to eat of the forbidden tree?
So are you as a pastor always fully engaged on Sunday morning?
Sadly, no. Even though I practice, and even though I'm trained to do it, my mind wanders and my focus wanes just as much as anyone else. And that's because my focus is diverted from what is actually happening and who I'm with. My thoughts wander off onto perhaps someone who's in the pews who looks bored, or someone in the pews who looks angry. And instead of focusing on the fact that Jesus has come to be with me and to forgive my sins, I begin to wonder why they're upset. And I can get angry, or I could get sad or worried, wondering if I have done something or I have said something that has made them upset or sad or bored. And so you see, the focus then goes away from our Lord Jesus Christ onto something that I have done.
When we find ourselves in this position, which I think everybody, pastors and people, as you have admitted, find ourselves in that position on Sunday morning, what's the proper response?
Well, repentance. That is confession of who we are as fallen sinners, confession of how we have been selfish and wanted everything to be about us. And when we want everything to be about us, we forget that everything there is already for us and already about us. I mean, that's the reason why we're there, is to receive God's good gifts. And so the primary response is confession of sin. And then the other half of repentance is faith. Trust, active trust, that God is there to forgive even those sins, even the sins of our boredom in church. I mean, what I find rather remarkable about our Lord is that we have put him to death. And on Easter morning, when he comes back from the dead, he is not angry. He's not upset. Can you imagine if someone who has done something evil to you, Todd, and coming to see them 3 days later, not being angry at them?
No.
But this is the nature of our God. This is the nature of the risen Jesus, that even though it was we who put him there, when he rises from the dead and he gathers with his people, he's not angry. And in fact, he's compassionate and merciful. And he only wants to do what's best for us. And so he comes to us to give us the fruits of his cross: forgiveness of sin, eternal life, and everlasting salvation.
With about a minute here before we take our first break, how do you respond to someone who says, if people are bored on Sunday morning, then Sunday morning needs to change. We know what keeps people's attention. We know what grabs their attention. We need more of that on Sunday morning, about a minute before our break.
Well, I think there are two sides to this. The first side is that of repentance, that of we are not here to do what we want to do. We are here to receive what God has come to give us. Now, the second side of that is something I think that the pastor can keep in mind, that when you're dealing with certain people, they all have baggage, and it takes time to get to know them and to know their baggage. And you may, you know, avoid saying things or doing things, you know, without avoiding the truth of God's word and the truth of the gospel. You can avoid doing things particularly that will hack them off. So one of those things is if they're used to hearing shorter sermons, well, you know, begin your sermons short and add to them as you go on to engender and cultivate in them a spirit of listening and receiving instead of putting something before their eyes and ears and hearts that will immediately shut them out.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about boredom in the church. It's Wednesday afternoon, October the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Our guest is Pastor Jason Broughton. He's pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Tuscola, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the recent Lutheran Witness magazine titled Yawn. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Apostles Lutheran Church is in Melrose Park, Illinois. We invite you to our divine service, which is held every Sunday at 9:15. Please contact us at 847-455-0903 or check out our website at apostlesmelrosepark.org. We are located just south of O'Hare Airport, where airplanes are continually going up. Here at Apostles, we glory in the one who on the cross was lifted up for the sins of the world.
The Sydney Sussex College Choir with the hymn Now My Tongue the Mystery Telling, playing right now at Lutheran Public Radio. LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's sacred music for the world. The listener response to Lutheran Public Radio has been, well, I'll just say personally shocking. We did not expect the listeners to respond so enthusiastically as they have been, but they have been. And I'll tell you why. I think I know why. Because they are hearing there at LutheranPublicRadio.org 24/7, 365 days a year. Whenever they tune in, they are hearing the very best of sacred music for the world. It's the church's music at LutheranPublicRadio.org, like you can hear no place else. LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're talking about Boredom in Church. Pastor Jason Broughton is our guest. He is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Tuscola, Illinois. He's authored an article in a recent Lutheran Witness magazine titled Yawn. Pastor Broughton, the example you gave from before the break sounds like what you're saying is, as a matter of common sense, the pastor does need to be aware of the limitations of his people's attention span, of their ability to pay attention.
Well, right. I mean, this is, in a sense, this is St. Paul's advice to fathers in Ephesians, that is, you know, in the table of duties of our catechism, that, you know, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. We do well. We know the limits of our kids. Now, we want to stretch them, and we do that, but we do it incrementally, right? We don't do it in such a way that it gives them a spirit of failure. In the same way as spiritual fathers, so to speak, please understand the term correctly, that pastors are seeking to draw their people into a fuller understanding, a better understanding of what the Lord is doing in the divine service on Sunday mornings.
So it won't do for the pastor to come in fully equipped with what he knows the divine service is about. What he realizes and has been taught and has been trained Sunday morning is really all about. And to, in essence, it seems like you're saying, leave them in the dark, leave the people in the dark and say, well, you shouldn't be bored with this. Don't you know what's going on here? It's his responsibility to teach them what's really going on there.
Yeah, he teaches it, and he teaches also by how he acts in the divine service. I mean, there's it's no accident that St. Paul in Acts tells the young pastors in Ephesus or in that region to pay attention to yourselves, to watch how you do things, and thereby pay attention to those placed under your care. That pastors pastor also by watching how they perform the divine service, or how they enact God's gifts of word and sacrament, and that they do it mindful that the people are watching.
You see, now you're on one of my pet peeves, and that is, and I've seen it, you've seen it as well, but I've been a pastor for 22 years, and I've seen in and out of Lutheran churches of our ilk, and I've seen the divine service presided over by a pastor in such a way, and it's the same divine service, I'm not diminishing the gifts that are given there in any way whatsoever, but I've seen it presided over by a pastor who does it like he is simply going through the motions. And I know he doesn't believe that he's just going through the motions, but by golly, sure seems he rushes through things as though he's trying to get through it as quickly as possible. And then I have seen pastors who, with every syllable, they are, through their mannerisms, through the way that they are carrying out the duties of their office there on Sunday morning, are telegraphing to, are screaming to everyone how important this is. You're talking about the pastor being mindful that he doesn't give the impression people that this is something they should be bored with.
Precisely. We are stewards of the mysteries, are given to bear witness to what we know is true and what we believe is true in our actions, in how we adorn the office. You know, we adorn the office with a holy life, but also we adorn it with the ceremonies that we use when we interact with the people of God on Sunday morning. That everything in the final analysis, everything that we do on Sunday morning teaches something. And the question that every pastor is given to ask is, what am I teaching when I do this? What am I not teaching when I don't do this? And so we are to carry ourselves with the knowledge that our actions betray our subtle beliefs. Even though we might know something to be true, oftentimes we don't act as though we really believe that it's true. And so we carry ourselves in such a way that does not bear witness to the truth of what is actually happening.
I remember an older pastor once saying that what happens on Sunday morning is the most important thing that happens in your life. Week in, week out, of all the important things that happen in your life, what happens there, encountering the risen Christ for the forgiveness of sins, is the most important thing. How do we teach our people that so that they understand that hour, that brief hour on Sunday morning, is by far and away the most important thing in their lives?
Well, I think the best way to do that is that we see it as the most important thing in our own lives, that there is no other place that we would rather be than here, and that we bear witness to that fact in carrying out the duties of delivering the sacraments. One of my teachers at seminary once said, gentlemen, you will engender in the people of God that you serve, you will engender in them a love for confession and absolution, individually and corporately, for the sacrament, for the liturgy and the Word of God, when you make use of those things as if they are your life, as if they are your very lifeblood, the thing that gives you meaning. So if you make use of these things, if you fast, if you go to confession and absolution, if you have wonderful joy in the divine service, that will engender and cultivate it also in your people.
So bottom line, Pastor Broughton, what is happening? What is God doing on Sunday morning? That which we freely admit we are often bored with, although we shouldn't be. What is God doing there for us sinners, us bored and inattentive sinners?
He is coming from heaven in his very body and blood to dwell with us sinners as God with us, to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from every unrighteousness, not just the bad stuff that we have done, but even the bad stuff that has been done to us. He cleanses us of it. He hallows us with his word and his spirit, and he makes us members of heaven, where we gather with angels and archangels, with our grandmothers and grandfathers who are long past, with Martin Luther and all the saints, where we gather with them and the Lamb who was slain but lives. And he comes to do that every Sunday.
And does he do it even when we're bored, even when our attention drifts, even when we are inattentive?
Most especially then, he seeks to draw us out of the doldrums of our lives to see with our ears the beauty, the majesty of what it is to be his people.
Pastor Jason Broughton is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Tuscola, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the recent Lutheran Witness magazine titled Yawn. Pastor Broughton, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you. It was a joy.
It is kind of in our fallen nature to be bored with the things that ought to fascinate us, that ought to be of greatest interest to us. Doesn't it simply show how even we Christians, fallen as we are, can become bored with the greatest things that there are in this world, in this universe. That we could be, let's just put it the way it ought to be put, that we could be bored with God. We find him boring. What does it tell you about yourself? What does it tell me about myself that, you know, if I was going to fill out one of those questionnaires, say, who would you like to spend an hour with? Who would you like to sit down and have a beer with? Who would you like to have a cup of coffee with? It wouldn't be Jesus, right? He doesn't even make the list. We don't find him that interesting, a testament to the depth of our sin. And yet, Jesus does not require that we find him interesting. We ought to. We ought to, because it is a sin to be bored with our God. He still deigns to serve us, to give us what we need as fallen sinners, bored and fallen and inattentive sinners, the forgiveness of our sins founded in his blood shed for us at the cross. Such a Jesus. When we come back, we're going to talk about the lack of God talk between the two major party presidential candidates. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be our guest.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
The Church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Remembering a pro-life pioneer.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Much ado was made in the press recently about the death of Helen Gurley Brown, the original Cosmo Girl and advocate of so-called sexual freedom for women. As we all know, such freedom has consequences. Enter Ellen McCormick, a wife, homemaker, and two-time pro-life presidential candidate in the 1970s. Unlike most Democrats, Ms. McCormick committed to a human life amendment, and her campaign exceeded expectations. She garnered federal matching funds and used them to run pro-life commercials seen by millions of Americans. We honor Ms. McCormick, a pro-life pioneer who died last year at the age of 84.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference.